our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. Today we're outside, well, we're doing an outside broadcast.
Basically. It's the first outside broadcast. It's a live broadcast from an event, the motoring event. But this is the first time we're doing it, so...
We had a little bit of technical difficulty.
Yeah, we ran out of data.
So please, we apologize for the inconvenience, for starting a bit late, but we are here. We are out at the Langham's Conference Center, just off Winnie Mandela Drive. If you didn't know where Winnie Mandela Drive is, we didn't know.
I won't lie, this one is going to take a little getting used to. I think, what was it before?
William Nicol.
And it was something that I think just stuck. It's going to take a while for me to be able to do the switch.
Well, you say that, but when they changed Hunt Stadium to Malibongwe, I also said, you know, like, it's going to take me a while to get used to Malibongwe. And now it's as if Hunt Stadium never existed.
But do you know,
not even the road.
No, so what it is for me is, obviously, if you listen to radio and you listen to traffic updates, when they keep on saying the new word, or the new name, it kind of cements it in, if that makes sense.
I don't know, because I still say Ridge Road. I don't say Peter Mokaba.
Okay.
So for me, the names in Durban haven't changed.
But you see, that's the thing. You don't listen to Durban traffic.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the people in Durban, the listeners in Durban will tell us, have they, conformed to the changes, mm-hmm, and are now using the new names? I mean, even with, how do you say, Ngebeha?
I stick to, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we're out in just off Winnie Mandela Drive. We're here for the Motoring Woman of the Year Awards.
Correct.
So tell us a bit about it, Jamil.
So basically, it's an award that celebrates the women in motoring. You know, obviously all the achievements, and it's quite a big thing, because traditionally, if you look at the automotive space, I think it was an industry dominated by males, right? And this obviously looks at it, and I'm not just talking to my colleague journalists. I'm talking even in, for example, a workshop. If you have a female mechanic, if you have a female driver, if you have anyone, it celebrates women in motoring. So no matter what aspect of motoring you're in, this award this awards night is there for the different women in motoring.
Well, there is, like you say, there's quite a lot of women in the motoring industry. And just for example, before we started now, we saw a few of the awards. There was the sales awards, there's F&I, there's, you know, there's so many different categories that, and they have in each category five finalists. So how many women are there for them to narrow it down to five? I mean, some of the categories, they said there was like 300 nominees.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a very interesting topic aspect that you bring up, is that there's multiple facets, right? So from journalism to all of these things, and in each one, there's just so many people. It's not a case of, you know, it's like going to be a landslide because it's two entrants. No, it's a massive, massive industry, and a massive part of motoring is now dominated by females.
Yes, and... we must congratulate Desh Pillay, who actually founded this whole award, as well as, you know, encouraging women in motoring. So if you remember, a few weeks ago, we had Desh on the show.
Yeah, she gave away tickets for, the Festival of Motoring.
Yes.
And she also, you know, she kind of dedicated her entire life to empowering women. So I remember the tickets were also only meant for women. So, yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations to her and the team for putting together such a wonderful award ceremony and a wonderful initiative as well, celebrating women in motoring. And contact her if you are women in motoring, or if you want to nominate somebody for next year's awards, because I believe they have it every year.
Yes. And also it's backed by like quite big players in the industry. So it definitely it's something to look forward to. If you are, for example, a saleswoman, if you are, whatever it is, if you have a foot in the automotive space, and like I'm saying, you see it across the board from racing drivers, and it's just so vast.
But what I liked about also about this awards is not only were they celebrating, you know, the women, they were actually like, say, for example, you worked for a motors group, right? They got the senior people, like even like the directors, to come out and give the award for the first place.
Sure.
So,
yes.
So yes. I mean, it's not only just celebrating, they actually got everybody on board.
Yes.
And people have come from all over the country
yes.
for this. I mean, there's people down in the Cape, down in Pietermaritzburg, that have won awards and, you know, are here tonight.
So one aspect of motoring, well, not one, but it's a very important one that I think the role is literally molded for a female, based on their nature, based on their, you know, their teaching abilities, but a driving school instructor. And firstly, I mean, as a woman, a lot of women are more quite comfortable going out and learning with a female. And then secondly, it's a nerve-wracking experience when you start off, right? Let's face it. If you've never ever driven in your life and now it's, you know, you turn 18 and now you're starting your learners, or I mean, you're starting your lessons, a lot of females would feel more comfortable with a female driver. And I'd like to find out from our listeners, was there a instructor that you went to that, you know, displayed amazing, call it teaching ability or professionalism or whatever it is that really got you getting your license and behind the wheel of a vehicle?
But even besides that, like listeners who had interaction with a female, you know, like for example, you go to there was always this perception that if you go to a dealership and you see a woman as a sales executive or whatever they call them, sales assistant, that they weren't capable. They didn't know anything about cars. They couldn't sell you a car because they, you know.
Sure.
And yeah, they're celebrating them because they've achieved so well in their field.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's lots of women that you go into any dealership now and sometimes you'll be like, I didn't even know that.
100%. Definitely, I agree with you. I think it's something that, firstly, a lot of women actually take an interest in cars.
Yes.
I think it's no more like, it's no more just the blue car and the red car. It's
what
now
looks pretty.
Yeah,
those lights. Okay. The lights look pretty.
You know, when a like a vehicle like a Mustang is described as cute, I don't know. I can't wrap my head around something. You know, you look at like a Dodge Hellcat, and you're like, oh, that's so cute. Like, no. Like, you know. But yeah, I think we've really made strides on that front. And yeah, if you have someone who you know, or you are someone who's in this industry, and you'd like to nominate, you know, a fellow female, Dash is definitely someone to speak to. And also, if you want to chase up a career in this sort of field, definitely something to look at.
Yeah, because there are people within the field that can mentor you. I mean, if you want to even get within the workshop space, you know, like repairing or building or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be, you know, like for some reason people think that, you know, it only has to be F&I or, you know, behind the desk or that. No, I mean, there's women that are great engineers.
Definitely.
You know?
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the rotary engine was designed or basically conceptualized by a female.
Is it?
They're not reliable, but I mean, it was a very good engine in terms of the amount of...
I think you should take that back to me.
No, but on a serious note, I mean, it was conceptualized or like designed by a female. And it basically... it's able to produce a massive amount of power from a very small displacement. So, I mean, if you look at, like, rotary engines, they're, like, normally 1,300, 1,500. Yeah. But, like, the amount of power they put out is, like, a 2-liter and upwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever driven a rotary engine car?
No.
Okay, I've driven a RX-8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it's nice. It's fun. It's amazing. I mean, it's a 1,500, if I'm not mistaken. It's cool.
What made it cool? Like explain
it,
to us.
It
you see now you're telling us the car's pretty and it's cute. So explain to us.
So it was quite a long time ago, But I remember it, like it was quite nippy in terms of acceleration and stuff. And like I'm saying, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's a 1500 as well engine. And sure, I think at the time it was putting out more kilowatts than a Golf 5, which was, what, 2 liter turbo, I think. Could be
the Golf 5 was another 1.8.
So mm-hmm. Golf 5 was a 2 liter turbo making 147 kilowatts, I think.
Yeah. Can't remember that far back. It was like 2005, 2006.
Yeah, somewhere I think six upwards.
Yeah,
it's five.
So, on that note, we have joined the Proton family.
Yes, and how ironic that both of us at the same time. So just to give you an understanding, dear listener, both myself and Ziad meet at the Proton dealership to collect vehicles, unbeknownst to us. So I just see this Ziad sitting there in the parking lot with a massive smile on his face. I had dropped off the Proton Saga. I then collected the X70. You dropped off the X50 and picked up the Saga, right? So one vehicle that we both have in common that we've both driven, I think maybe the Saga, it's a bit too soon to talk about.
Yes.
But was the X50, right?
Yes.
So you had it for the whole of last week.
Last week.
Okay, and what did you think of the vehicle?
I think that the car is very, very underrated. The reason why I'm saying that is that everyone is looking at your Cherries, your motors, your valves and everything, and nobody is looking at Proton.
Yes.
And if you remember back in 2010, maybe 2009, there was the Gen 2, the Proton Gen 2.
Yes.
Very, very popular car. It was a very nice car.
Yes.
And if you ever test drove it?
No.
It was...
Did you test it?
Yeah,
it was like
I did. Okay.
I think my teacher hit that.
Well, that just tells you how popular it was. So there was a Proton Gen 2. So Proton was in South Africa. Okay, so Proton, let's take it back. Proton is a Malaysian manufacturer, vehicle manufacturer, right? That's my heritage.
Right.
So that's why I'm so happy. So they came to South Africa, I think, around 2005, 2006. And then they left South Africa in, I think, 2012 or 2013,
yes.
Right? So they've been away for about 10 years. But in that time, they made quite an impact. And there were a lot of Gen 2s. If you remember the time of the Seat.
Oh, yes.
It was around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So those two were basically...
Didn't they kind of come and go at the same time?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm bringing it up, because you would have seen as many Seats as you did Gen 2s on the
Seat road. Actually had some really nice cars. I mean, there was the, I think it was the Leon Cupra R, which was basically a Golf 5 GTI.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what sort of discounted price, but
yeah,
it was the exact same vehicle.
Well, Seat, for those that don't know, is actually the like sort of racing division of VW.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Spain, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Don't quote me. But, yeah, so that was Seat. But now with Proton, they came in, they made a big bang. People were very happy. They bought the cars. And then for some other reason, they had to leave the country, right? They left. And last year, 2022, they came back again with a bang, with the X50, with the launch of the X50 and the X70.
So just to understand, the X50 was the first Proton you drove after the... return, right?
Yes.
Okay, so same with me. And I think I was actually started on that vehicle for a specific reason. I think it's the, call it the model in Proton's range to really draw your attention. I mean, from the looks to the way it drives. So one major thing that happened while they kind of left us in South Africa was their partnership with Geely and Volvo. And I must tell you that the SUVs have a certain premium feel to it. Obviously, we were driving, call it the top of the range model, but really it felt premium. And even the drive, you know, it honestly speaking, I'm honestly comparing this to a Haval, a Cherry, and also your, call it your X55, right? I know pricing is, and that's another thing. If I feel that on the X50, if they could squeeze a discount of about, honestly, between 60 and 80,000. I think that vehicle will be a serious contender in that market.
So I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Because you're actually in the wrong category.
Right. No. It's slightly smaller.
No.
But
no. So okay. It's a crossover, a premium crossover.
Okay.
Right. Because, like you said, there's the for the motoring aficionados, they have the partnership with Geely and Volvo for their powertrains. So Geely owns Volvo, who owns Lotus, who owns Smart, who owns Proton, right? So Geely is the holding company. Now, the premium crossover market that I'm talking about is actually the Mazda CX-3, the Hyundai Kona.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So they're actually very well priced then, because...
Exactly.
Wait, what's the price of a CX-3 now?
So the CX-3, I think the top of the range is also like, it's like over 400, almost 500.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you this now. A CX-3 I've driven, it feels underpowered, right? I'm not sure if you've driven it.
Yes.
You feel the same
so
way?
So that's why I'm saying to you, the Proton X50 is a serious contender.
But why is it not selling then? I don't understand, because if you are in a market for that vehicle... How does car sales work? Do you just like, okay, I want this car, walk in, or do you do your research?
Okay, so you've just proven a point now that most consumers are putting it in the category Haval, Chery, Amoda, whatever, bike, X55. Mm-hmm. It's not in that same category. It's not marketed in that same category,
sure.
Firstly. The features that it has is different. So if you're going to compare, so we've both driven the CX-3, right? I can tell you, firstly, the Proton X55, the engine on this is the 1.5 TGDI. So it's a turbo gasoline direct fuel injection, right? Whereas the Mazda CX-3, if I'm not mistaken, it's a 2-liter, but it's naturally aspirated.
Okay.
It's only producing, I think, 110 or 115 kilowatts,
okay.
the top of the range.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but when you drive a naturally aspirated vehicle now, it's feeling a bit old. It's feeling a little tired.
I still enjoy naturally aspirated because sometimes, especially if it's a manual, I still feel like, you know, I'm back in the day, old school driving. So I don't mind it. But... it depends on what engine it is in what vehicle. I don't think that the engine that the CX-3 has is bad, okay? The my thing was more the size of the car. Considering that the CX-5 is a little bit bigger, CX-30 is a little bit bigger, and the CX-3, so what I normally do in all of my reviews, I test out what it's like for me to sit in the back seat.
Sure.
Right? So I have my driver's seat as far back as I normally have it, which is quite far back because I have long legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into the back seat. And Isa will say to me, my son will say to me, how do you feel?
Yeah.
You know? And I literally was squashed in the CX-3. Right?
Okay. But it's a tiny car. From outside it looks big.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's one of those cars where you can say, hey, I'm driving a hatchback or a sedan, and now I'm graduating to an SUV because I need space.
But that's why
I think it's more of a lifestyle vehicle in terms of...
But that's why it's a crossover.
Yes.
So, you know, you're getting there. You're not quite there in the SUV market. With the X50, I can honestly say I had probably a hand... length away from the seat. I had to push my legs out just for me to touch the seat.
Okay. No, it was definitely a comfortable drive. I actually took it on quite a long road trip, and it just felt so good. I mean, it's got ample power. It just feels solid. Like, even when you are accelerating, like if you need to overtake or whatever, it just feels like it wants to be there. You know, it's not like it's struggling and screaming through all the gears and...
So, I have a funny story. Okay, firstly, last week, before the show, I went to the masjid for Maghrib, and I came out of the masjid, and there was a brother that was literally like looking around the car, because if you see the badge, you don't know what car it is. So, he was trying to see the name of the car, right? So, you know, like I just let him be and, you know, like enjoy the car, check it out, whatever it is. So that was the first thing. That was before the show. After the show, on my way home, I don't know what happened, but I was at the traffic light and I just like took off, you know, but not like I wasn't in a hurry, but I just took off. And I got to the next traffic light and I see this car like racing down, you know, like to try and look like he was trying to catch. And I thought, you know, like, did I do something wrong or whatever? And this guy parks next to me, Toyota 86. Okay. Right. Yeah. So I was like, okay, right. This guy is like revving and whatever. And I'm like, what does he think is going to happen? So I said, okay, you know what, leave it. But I put the car, so there's two modes. There's eco and there's sport, right? And if you put the car in sport, it's a totally different vibe that you get.
Okay, I remember this. So I actually wrote that when you put it into sport, right? Obviously, you can't put it into sport if you're like in town cruising, because the car becomes like jumpy, like it wants to, it's like it's responsive.
Yeah.
So I think the first time I put it in sport, I was like in this like call it traffic scenario, but it's like playing around, you get in the car, you press a few buttons, and you know, like the light turns green and then you like go and you're like almost in the guy in front of you. But yeah, I found it like a little jumpy in that situation. But on the open road, if you need to like overtake, I know exactly what you, it transforms that vehicle. Yeah. It becomes quite a sporty drive.
No, it is. It's a very sporty car. But we'll talk about the looks and the sportiness just now. So I just put it into sport, you know. And I don't condone any illegal street racing or anything. And I'm not a, you know, like a fanatic. So the 86 took off. The light turned green. He took off, right? And I let him go. He was like probably like a car's length away from me.
Right.
And then I pressed the accelerator. And I kid you not,
right,
this car took off so well. It was so, like you say, responsive. Mm. I left him standing. He was trying to catch up with me like the whole way.
So do you know what the thing is? Why? Do you know why?
Why?
You had four exhaust gears too.
So that's the sportiness that I was going to talk about. So this is the only crossover in its, I think, only crossover, actually SUV, like even the inline, yes, that only has two pipes.
Right.
This has four. It has such a nice look and feel. It's got the whole kit around it, body kit around it.
It's quite aggressively designed.
Yeah.
It's got nice wheels. It looks sporty. It really does. It's a nice, call it, transition into a full-size family SUV. I think it's aimed at like some sort of a younger market, someone who's more like, call it, savvy, because there's quite a bit of tech in the vehicle as well. Autonomous parking.
Yes.
Lane keep.
There's adaptive cruise control as well. And that's also very responsive. The adaptive cruise control, very responsive. The voice command. You just say, hey, Proton, open the sunroof. And they're like opening the sunroof. Yeah. Open the window. Open the window. What they also have is on the key itself. So like your premium vehicles, you can hold down the lock key and everything locks. So if you have your windows open or the doors open, sunroof, everything included will close. If you want to open it up before you get into the vehicle as well, you just hold down the key. The sunroof doesn't open, but the windows do.
That's a very nice feature if you live in Cape Town. When you park your car, it's really hot, and then 20 minutes later, it starts raining. So you just hold it in from where you are sitting, and it's going to sort you out.
And then there's also remote engine starting.
Yes.
So this is a little tricky if you do want to know, but basically you have to lock it four times, and then you press to start the engine. But then again, it starts if the car is hot, the aircon starts as well, so it cools the car down from inside. So those are premium features that I think is well worth the price.
Definitely. And I mean, like, okay, on a vehicle like this, there's so many of these little features, like, you know, that puddle light that shines.
Yes.
The sunroof was quite an impressive sunroof. I think it's a
panoramic. It's a panoramic sunroof. There's a puddle lamp that has the logo of the Proton.
Proton has a really beautiful logo. I promise you, it's a nice looking logo.
No,
it has a little Holden vibes, you know, that Holden.
Yeah. No, it is very nice. It's like a I don't know if it's a lion or, but let's, you know what, let's go to an ad break and then we'll talk more about the X50 when we come back.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back here on Bumper to Bumper. We're out, as we said, at the Motoring Woman of the Year Award, and we're talking all about the Proton X50.
X50, yeah, that's Proton's nice little entry into the SUV market in South Africa.
Yes, it is. And we were just talking about the features now. You're talking about the panoramic sunroof, the little puddle lamp that they have.
Have you tried the parking? Where it parks for your...
I didn't get that. Yeah. Really?
Wait, right. You didn't get it?
No, right. I didn't get it right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I remember you like drive past the parking.
Yeah.
You activate the system, drive right. past the parking lot.
Yeah.
It has like this little like timer or something that goes yeah. green. And then you just let go of everything. And as nerve-wracking as it is, especially these cars.
Yeah.
It pulls in. I tried like a few times.
I've never been able to get that thing right. Okay. The car always just carries on driving for some while and searches for parking and I don't know.
Okay. No, so, I've actually tried it a few times.
Yeah.
And all the times I tried it was where there was park cars. I obviously keep my like foot like really handy on the brake. But it actually does it like in quite a, call it like you feel safe.
Right.
It doesn't, like, you know, some cars like jerk into the parking lot. Like, they just like slingshot you in. I think the initial BMs that used to do it was a little nerve-wracking, but this was pretty good.
Okay, then I need to try it again.
Yeah.
But there's also hill descent as well that works quite well. There's premium features in there.
Yes.
It's got a 10.25-inch screen.
Okay, so that's where it brings me to the fact that it doesn't have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, right?
But
yes, I didn't mind that system that they have. I don't think it's something that you miss Apple CarPlay, or it's something where you like, you know, you really call it struggle without it.
It's basically, it's called what? QD Link, if I'm not mistaken.
QD Link, yes.
So the QD Link is screen mirroring system. It's like Carbot Link that we spoke about in the Beijing X55. It's a similar thing. But on that note, Proton South Africa have said that they are working on, it's in progress, we can't say how long it will take, but they are trying to convert to Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. So if you do purchase a car, they are going to come out when it is ready, hopefully soon, and they will install the Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
Oh, so is it like an upgrade, like a software
upgrade? Yeah, a software upgrade.
Yes, okay.
So that shouldn't even deter you from getting the vehicle.
Okay. Another thing, just going back to the sport mode, did you feel it like on the steering wheel and everything, it like tightens up everything?
I actually didn't feel it. I just felt like, you know, like it really was really responsive. So you know that it's a direct fuel injection.
Yeah, it's very strict. No, but I really enjoyed it. I would like to see more on the roads just because it's a really good car.
So go out, you know, go to like a CMH or whatever it is. Go have a look, Google where the nearest Proton dealership is, and just go and test drive the X50, or test drive all their models if you want to. But test drive the X50. Let us know what you think about it.
Look, they entered the SUV market hard because they got the X50, which we're talking about, then the X70, which I'm currently driving. It's a bit of a bigger, I'd say. It's a mature version of an X50, if that makes sense to you.
Okay, right? Big brother.
Big brother, but like you can feel like it's premium. It's got more premium, like, you know, the finishes, the leather, for example.
Right.
It's just a more premium vehicle, right?
Yeah.
It's for someone who's established in life and they have a direction. Like I'm saying 45 upwards, right? And then they've got the X90, which is actually South Africa's first hybrid 7-seater. We haven't driven it yet. We are going to be driving it. But, I mean, that's something amazing to be like less than a year in South Africa, but you're already bringing such a revolutionary product to the market.
But when you say 7-seater, It's actually full adult seven-seater.
Do you know manufacturers have been getting away with this technicality for a while? Okay, because a seven-seater in a lot of these cars, it's not a real seven-seater. Like, let's be honest, it's the same way a Porsche 911 is a four-seater. You know what I'm saying? There's seats there for really, really short people or kids. And I think the XC90, if I'm not mistaken, it seats seven adults. Am I correct?
You're talking about that?
The X90.
We're talking about Volvo.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I mean, they share the, yeah.
No, but the XC90 we can talk about as well. But it's full adults. And I mean, if you're taking it from the X50, like I said, when you're sitting in the back, you have that legroom. So I can only imagine what the X90 is.
Okay. Like. So I want to do something, right? I'll put up my dates of when I have the X90. If someone is in the Johannesburg and Pretoria region and they want to see the vehicle, I'm willing to bring it to you to have a look.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. So
Brother Jamil is donating his services wherever you want him to drive you to as an Uber.
Yeah.
up to six people, he will cart you Uber pool. Uncle Jamil's Uber pool is going to take you.
Musafir laws, so I don't pass that. Right?
Okay. And no, there's going to be segregation as well. So only brothers in the car. So that sounds good. The way you started talking, I actually thought that you're going to try and see how many people you could actually fit in the vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, but that's a given.
I mean, not seven, like how many?
Oh, no. It's meant for seven. Let's stick to seven. Okay. But I get that. I've seen those before.
There was actually a classic car show at NASREC. Couple of years ago, and they wanted
to break a record. Was it a Mini or VW?
No, it was a VW.
Yeah.
So they actually got, I don't know how many people they were. I got a video somewhere on YouTube. If you go to ilovezda.com's YouTube channel, you'll find it there. And they not only got so many people in the VW, they actually had like a low rider contest. So they had to see how low the car was. So they had a bar and the car had to go underneath it with all these people. So it was like breaking two records.
So basically it's like an SA Taxi award, basically.
Basically.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what we do here in Mzansi.
We cram people into low cars.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about the driver's license. And this week my wife actually booked a driver's license.
Okay. Right? On the NATIS system.
On the e-NATIS system. Okay. So we spoke about it on Friday, last week Friday. On Monday she went on the system and she booked a date for the very next day. Right? So that's how quick the system is. You can go, well, depending on the way you're booking. She booked at the Waterfall branch, which is, I'm going to tell you about it now. So she went on the website, she booked the date, and she went in. And we thought, you know, like, going to be there for a while and whatever. She went in, and I think it was like 11:15, say, right? Yeah. She went in. Got her photos done, thumbprints, it's all done in the same place. She did the eye test. So like we said last week, if you want to do the eye test, you can, and you can just take your report there. But if you want to stand in the queue, you can. She did the eye test, then she went to pay, and she came out. It was about 20 minutes max for everything.
But remember, I told you, it's a very quick process now. It's something that works. And honestly, I don't know why it wasn't done in this way for a while. I mean, it's not like, you know, websites and stuff are new. But like on that note, I mean, look at the home affairs, which is a complete opposite thing. You make a booking to make a booking.
Oh, we'll talk about that on another occasion.
But it's upset you too.
About passports, which we spoke about before. But yeah, 20 minutes. And I mean, she didn't need a temporary license, but if you do need a temporary license, they said you just need the extra photos. I think there's a different queue that you go to and you obviously have to pay for that and whatever. But I mean, say you're there for less than an hour, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, that's what it's going to take you to renew your license. I know it's stressful for a lot of people. A lot of people have anxiety to go through this, system, but it's not that stressful. It's literally, you go onto the website, you book a date, you go the next day or a few days later, whenever suitable to you, and you're there in and out. The staff are very helpful. They direct you everywhere. There is, signs and everything to where you need to go. So you don't even
get
lost.
They also work with that counter system where they like...
Yeah, you have to get a ticket.
Native system is really, it's improved. And like I'm saying, it's something that happens every 5 years. So you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to go through this every 5 years, but it becomes like such a schlep to do it even once every 5 years.
No, but that's what you're saying. It becomes so like, not a schlep, it becomes stressful. You're like, I have to take off work and it's going to be so long. And, I don't know how long I'm going to take it or what must I do? Must I, take something to read?
Let me give you a quick tip, right? If ever you go to a Home Affairs and you get stuck, always use the word or the name NOMSA sent me here, because in every single Home Affairs office there's a NOMSA. I guarantee you.
Okay. Next time I go, I'm going to use that and we'll see how it works out.
Sure. So, back to today's live broadcast.
Yes.
I think this is something we should do more regularly in terms of live broadcast. I think it gives a nice feel. It also, it's a little different for us as well.
Yeah, we're outside of the studio. We're very relaxed here. We've Jamil's got a cappuccino.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had dinner here as well. So we're quite well looked after.
Definitely. And it's nice. Like I'm saying, we've got our own little space here. And it's something to kind of report on, just to do different things. So I think maybe we're going to look at motoring events and maybe start doing live or broadcast from outside. So just to warm everyone up, next week I'm going to be broadcasting from outside.
Oh, so you're warming me up as well.
Warming you up as well. Warming you up. So you're going to be driving solo for a little bit of next week's show.
Okay.
But I know I'm leaving my listeners in good hands.
Jazakallah for that.
No, but yeah, so inshallah, next week we are going to the Drakensberg, where we plan to, inshallah, summit the Tugela Falls, the hike. We're doing this very differently. And, it's something that when I return, inshallah, if people need, any questions answered regarding the hike, I think we'd be able to do it. Because when I tell you we're doing it differently, I'm not sure there's many people. So what we're going to do is I actually delayed the start of our hike because I want to talk to you from there. We're driving through to Drakensberg.
So you're going to talk to us before you go for the hike?
Literally, but when I end that call, I'm going to tie my shoelaces and start going.
Oh, okay.
So if you think about it, I just said, what time does our show normally end? From my side, maybe 7:30, right?
Right.
We're actually starting the hike at that time of the night.
Sure.
Okay? And it's quite something amazing, because if you know the Tugela Falls hike, you actually do something called the chain ladders. It's a very infamous section of the hike. It was put into place, I don't know how many years ago, but it's literally just to boost you up the mountain, which you climb up ladders. They aren't fixed. It's not a ladder. It literally sways and stuff. But we're doing this entire thing at night. Our guide's plan is to reach the top at about midnight, where we'll then set up camp, have dinner, and then the next day, we actually, normally you go up and down, we actually from there hike to another section of the mountain range, and then through the gorge back. So all in all, it's 3 days, about 48 kilometers. I'm not ready for this physically, but I'm just throwing myself in the deep end. That's what's going on. And in terms of, obviously, we need to always tie this back to motoring. The vehicle that I'm taking is a Mercedes-Benz V300 Special Edition. So, the one with the roof box?
Yes.
That's the one we're going with. Obviously, there's quite a few partners in terms of branding partners, because My page, Find Your Adventure. We see it as it's quite a nice opportunity to kind of showcase, good brands that are in the outdoor space. So Garmin is another brand that's kind of partnered with us for this. And then the big one, it's called Phoenix Lighting, right? The reason why we want to do this at night is to showcase the brilliance of these products. So definitely something to look forward to. Inshallah, we will have a YouTube video. It will be all over socials. Probably not as it's happening because from what I understand, reception is really low. And just to put this to bed, apparently from 2019, there's been like discrepancies and arguments. This is the world's highest waterfall. So where the discrepancies came, Angel Falls is actually one drop, right? So a lot of people who call it working this out said that there's five drops to Tugela. So that's why you can't count it as the highest. But since 2019, there's been like a common ground on that where it is the world's highest waterfall. But look, worst case scenario, it's Africa's highest waterfall. Something I'm really looking forward to. I haven't been on a multi-day hike like in a bit. It's something that really I've got to, grease the knees to get into.
No, inshallah, it will all go well. Can I make a suggestion?
Please do.
What if you do a fundraising for Palestine?
Okay. So you mean on the hike?
On the hike, for the hike. If listeners want to, or, we can post it on social media or whatever, that you're doing this. And whatever money you raise, then, there's lots of...
So something that I actually spoke to Hafiz Imran about today was to possibly do a drive for Palestine.
Yeah.
I'd like our show to contribute to this. No matter how people want to contribute, whether it's sharing a message, something that has been researched, like actual news, share that.
Yeah.
If you can... monetary donations or whatever sort of help. I think it's hard doing a show like ours when this is going on in the world.
Definitely,
it's really heartbreaking. It's really something that needs to be brought to people's attention. It's really a humanitarian crisis. It's really spiraled out of control in the last week. Also, I like that idea. I think maybe as a bumper to bumper, we always see it as the not so serious show on Channel Islam. But on a serious note, let's look at it. Maybe a drive for Palestine, just something to raise awareness, raise funds. Let's do something.
No, and I think it's a very good initiative that you're doing. Not only are you attempting this climb, but you're doing it at night as well. So it's a feat, right? And so why not put something like a campaign together?
Sure.
With it?
No, I like the idea. I think maybe let's play around with more and let's hear from our listeners as well. Alhamdulillah, we had such a good response in last week's show. I promise you it really amped me up for this week. But let's talk about it. Maybe a Palestinian drive. Let's a bake sale, whatever it is. There's just so many options right now, so many ways that we can help, in our own little way, we can each individually contribute to the betterment of the situation.
Inshallah. Ameen. And if you want to send us messages, we are now on social. We just started the social media pages. We haven't started posting yet, but we are on B2BCII. So
it's on Instagram, right?
Yeah, on Instagram, on X, on TikTok.
Okay.
Okay. We will start the Facebook and YouTube as well under the same B2BCII. So keep a lookout for that. But if you want to send us messages, if you want to start following us, we're going to start posting everything. We might even do a little behind the scenes videos and pictures. You'll see how we're sitting in our pajamas on a Friday night. Yeah, chatting to you.
I was just going
to
say, if we do behind the scenes, we can't do that anymore.
So, yeah, but we'd like a feedback from you, especially with regards to, if you want to tag us with regards to Palestine, to share some of the stuff that
I want to start a small segment, like a once a week thing, where we read readers' lines or listeners' lines.
Okay.
In the most respectful way.
In terms of... Like they send us pictures? Or?
Yeah, just take us in a thing to say, this is what I'm driving. And it's not really a rating, but like just to comment on the vehicle. Like there's some listeners with some seriously cool cars, number okay. one. And when I mean cool, I don't mean expensive, right? Don't get me wrong. A cool car is not necessarily an expensive one. And there's also, I know for a fact, and I'm hoping that we get an invite soon, to certain listeners that have collections of vehicles, right? So I'm not talking like a two-car, three-car. I'm talking nice cars and a number of vehicles. So I think it's something that we could also showcase. I mean,
we could, like you say, if we want to do live broadcast, we could actually go out to people and then, you know, like interview them while we're there, look at their cars. They could take us for a drive. We could even do the show while we drive.
That's something. We must do a backseat show.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, that would be fun. Maybe if we get like an S-Class or something.
Doesn't have to be. If we can do it at the back of a Proton X90.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to do the show from the back of a Proton X90.
We just need a driver.
Wait, oh, there's a guy need to move. We're never going to get data.
Anyway, it was good having you, but we need to get back to the award ceremony that's currently happening here. Until next week, we wish Jamil and his team very good luck. He's in our du'as. All the best, inshallah. And the people in the Middle East, Palestine, and wherever else, all around the world, the ummahs in our du'as. For whatever suffering, may Allah make it easy for you and your family. And yes, we just remember the ummah in your du'as. And may Allah grant you shifa if you are going through anything for your family. And remember the marhum and marhumas also in your du'as. May Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Ameen. So until next week, have a safe drive. You'll be listening to me at the beginning of the show, before we connect with Brother Jamil, inshallah. So have a safe week. Buckle up. And
remember your journey, du'as, and from us at Bumper to Bumper. Until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.